This is Hidden Killers Live with Tony Bruschi, Stacey Cole, and Todd Michaels.
We're talking about the case against Sean Grayson, who was found guilty of second-degree murder. This is the one in Springfield, Illinois, where the officers visited the woman with the pot of boiling water that he claims thought, oh my gosh, she's going to throw this at me, even though they said you might want to take that off the burner over there. I mean, it's utterly insane. Let's talk earlier. We were talking about first degree murder versus second degree murder. He was found guilty and it was a charge of the first degree, found guilty on second degree murder on the lesser charge. 4 to 20 years basically is what that is. There is a possibility of parole that could take place here. First degree murder to the layperson, what I would think about it would be, well, premeditated. I don't think Sean Grayson walked into, you know, was outside that house going, I'm going to shoot her. I can't wait to get in there and take her out.
Well, this is where I want to correct you.
Because yes. And this is why you're here. This is why I'm bringing this up. So you can straighten that understanding out.
Yeah. So premeditation can happen in a matter of moments. Okay. Like the concept that people have to be plotting some shit is not how premeditation works.
Okay.
So as a matter of fact, when she says the thing about, Jesus rebukes you or whatever she says, and then he turns around and says, you better not, like, I'll shoot you in your fucking face. That's premeditation. Like that in and of itself, it shows that that had already entered his mind. And what does he do? He shoots her in her face. Yeah. So like that amount of time, premeditation can happen in that short of amount of time. Okay. And so first degree, the difference is, and I'll read you what kind of the statute is. It's intended to kill or do great bodily harm, or knew that his actions would cause great death or bodily harm and acted without lawful justification. So that was where probably a couple of people were hung up, because his attorney, and I'm talking about Grayson's attorney, probably did a halfway decent job selling the jurors on the concept that, okay, well, she had the pot, you know, she had the pot, she was going to throw the water at him. And like, so then second degree in Illinois is where the defendant acts under a sudden and intense passion resulting from serious provocation, or that the defendant believed that their actions were justified, like self-defense, but that belief was unreasonable. So that's where they got him on that. So, they landed on the fact that they believed that Grayson believed that his actions were justified, but the jury came to the conclusion that, okay, we're buying the fact that you believed that she was going to throw that hot water at you, but that belief was unreasonable. Therefore, we're finding you guilty of the second degree. All right. So that's where this whole thing lies. All right. And it's that concept of, I mean, I watched the video. Okay. And I was telling Allison, I'm like, let's go test this. I'm going to stand on the other side of the island. And I like, you don't have to have boiling water, but I'm going to give you a pot that size. And I want to see if you can hit me with the fucking water from 10 feet away. All right. Like I want to do this because, as far as I'm concerned, you just take a step back or to the side and you're not getting hit by hot water.
There's so many things he could have done.
But he goes towards her.
Right. He goes towards the number one. She wasn't even talking about the water. She wasn't bringing up the water. They brought up the water. You got something on the stove over there. So what does she do? She takes it off and she's heading towards the sink, which actually happens to be towards where the officers are. The officers continue to move towards the boiling water.
Right.
Like, so if you're concerned about this, back the fuck up.
Right.
Aren't they taught to back away from a threat?
Yeah. You already clearly are aware that this woman is not in her right mind, that things aren't great. So there is the distinct chance that she may make a horrible choice and throw water. That could possibly happen. I get that idea running through one's mind, but why are you going towards it? Why are you, I mean, and then the other possibility here, other than taser, other than pepper spray, other than 50 other things that he could have done, when you shoot, why are we going for a headshot?
Right.
Your point blank range. Why don't you shoot her arm where, you know, or just somewhere, or leg, somewhere, some non-fatal shot.
Anywhere where she's going to drop a pot.
Anything.
She gets shot on her person.
Shoot the pot.
Right, shoot the pot. Which, but that's the thing. Like when you watch that video very closely and it's a little grainy, she does go over to try to pour the hot water out into the sink. That's when he screams, I'm going to fuck. And that's when she says the rebuke thing. He claims he doesn't know what that means. Like this fucking moron doesn't know what the word rebuke means. He's like, he thinks it was a threat, which it wasn't. And, you know, and then he says, I'm going to shoot you in the fucking face thing. So while she's in the process of dumping the water in the sink, she drops down to the ground. And then he's screaming at her. And then she stands up. And if you watch, she's got the pot in front of where he said he was going to shoot her, which is her fucking face.
She's shielding.
Right. I mean, she was never throwing the pot of water at this guy.
And then she gets on the ground. She literally you hear her from what it sounds like to me. It's like, I'm sorry. And then he fires.
Yeah.
She's on the ground. The pot's down on the ground with her. And then he shoots downwards towards the woman who's already cowering in fear. And this is somehow okay. You know, we talk about the mental health, obviously. This woman obviously experiencing a mental health emergency. What about the mental abilities of Sean Grayson?
That's what I want to talk about.
Yeah. Because are they not screening at all for like these people? Like clearly I don't think Sean Grayson is mentally stable enough. Considering you lost 6 jobs in 4 years,
sociopath. Yeah, let me go through it real quick.
So let's do it.
August of 20 to July of 2021, he works for the Pawnee Police Department part time. And from February of 2021 to May of 2021, he gets hired on part time at the Kincaid Police Department. From May 21 to December of 2021, he gets hired part time at the Verdon Police Department. These are all little towns around the area. From July 21st until May 20 of 2022, he works full time for the Auburn Police Department. He shit canned there or he quits, whatever happens. And then May of 2022 to April of 2023, he gets another full time job at the Logan County Sheriff's Office. And then finally, whatever happens there, he's discharged, he quits, whatever. In May of 2023 to 2024, Sagamon County Sheriff's Office hires him full time. So that's 6 agencies in 4 years, but it's worse than that. This fucking guy has 2 DUI convictions, okay? 2 DUI convictions. You can't even get into fucking Canada with a DUI conviction. This guy has not one, but 2 convictions for DUIs, and he's continually being hired on by law enforcement.
How is that happening?
I don't know. I don't know.
I don't know, because, I mean, obviously, every state's different in this. And maybe you know the answer to this, maybe you don't, I don't know. Does the records follow the officers from place to place as to why you were fired, why you quit, why you were let go, whatever the hell happened? Or is it kind of like the school district system
system, like doctors. Yeah.
Like that or the Catholic Church or everything else where we shield everybody from their former fuck ups.
Exactly. So I don't know the answer to that. I don't know the answer to that, but they call it like a wandering officer. Like that's a cop who bounces from department.
They have wandering teachers too. We've talked about that.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. So, you know, and if they get forced out for misconduct, but they're not formally terminated, it doesn't fucking follow them. Like that's where they give them, like the little pat on the butt and say, okay, well, you know, we could either formally shit can you, which it's going to have to be written up and it's going to be put in the system, or you could just fucking quit and walk away. And then we don't have to do it. And then when they're doing that, and this guy was also discharged from the Army for misconduct.
Well, and there's the biggest red flag of all.
It's crazy. It's crazy. It was characterized as general under honorable conditions, but the reason was serious misconduct. So, I mean, like, this guy is just not the ilk of human being that you want out there with that kind of power, that gun and that badge that I was talking about earlier. It is way too much power for a person that is unhinged or having some kind of problems. And if he served, I don't know if he was in the shit. You know, I mean, if he was in the shit and he's a veteran, like, he's probably suffering from PTSD, because that's a fucking nightmare. War is hell. Yeah. You know, like, that's a real fucking thing. Like, you can't send all these young men and women over, like, overseas into a foreign country to start fucking killing people and then have them come back and expect them to be completely normal. Like, it changes the psyche of your, like, everything that you knew is now changed based on the fact that somebody told you that it was okay to go over because it was for country, you know, and go over and kill people. And some of them are killing a lot of people. Some of them are watching their friends being killed. And it's like, you can't come back from that not being harmed.
That's, no.
Like, you can't, like, so, like, I have a huge amount of respect for veterans. And I also understand that that's a real fucking thing. So I don't know if that went on with this dude, but if it did, you know, it helps explain things. But, man, like, this guy just should never have been a cop. Like, I mean, that's bottom lining it. It's bottom lining it.
And he got to be one over and over and over again. And I let me ask you this. Can he become a cop again?
I mean, no. At this point, no. Like you'd have to be fucking... You'd have to be begging for your department to be sued fucking upside down and backwards if you were to, because he's been convicted now of a major felony. Nah, he, not a chance. You know, but they were asking, the guy who hired him before he was hired at Sagamon was like, he literally asked the question. He's like, you've been in five different agencies, man. Like, and you've been here 7 months. Like, how are you here? His boss asked him that. Like, how are you fucking working here? I mean, like, the two DUIs is like a major red flag on top of the fact that like how this guy was getting you know what it boils down to is exactly what Tony said. They need fucking warm bodies.
Yeah, obviously.
That's what they did. They're not having a qualified pool of individuals because of the pay, because of the danger associated with the job. It's not an attractive job. And now when you compile that with the fact that you know, police officers take all kinds of shit, you know, because of the bad apples. Mm-hmm. So the good ones take shit because of the bad apples, you know, and the whole department is shit upon. And, you know, and it's a shame because, like I said, we need good police officers. Mm-hmm. We need them.
Yeah.
You know,
and then as communities, it's like, well, let's defund it. Yeah, defund it. That's a great, it's like it's the same genius idea that we have in our school system, which is currently how it works. The worse you are, the less assistance you get.
Yeah.
the less educated your children, the worse homes they come out from, the more you would think, well, if there's a problem in any other point in life, you're like, these people need some help. Like, let's help them get educated. Let's try and fill in the blanks a little bit where the levels are low over here. And that will ultimately take some more money and some more funding to get more educators and to get more people here to help those people along. No. In America, what we do is we say, oh, well, you're failing. Let's take the little scraps you have left and get rid of that too. Oh, let's test all these kids. They're not testing well enough. Well, proving is right. You don't deserve more. That's how the education system works in America, kids. I'm not exaggerating. No, that is literally how it works. That's essentially what we're doing as a society in our who we're voting for and the people that we're electing to make choices as far as how we're funding our police departments, how we're funding all of our first responders and things of this nature. We're saying, oh, we're angry at you. Let's not fund the problem to get help and educate the problem. We're like, take that shit away. What happens? You make it worse, dipshits. If we decided to go, let's go for somebody who's going to educate our people better, educate our officers better. Let's make sure that they're getting the training that we that they need for our existing ones. Let's up the pay. Maybe that'll increase the odds of getting qualified individuals in. And look, the officers here are getting training and they're treated well and they're treated right. You know what happens when you do that sort of shit? Crime goes down. There's less problems because you have a system that's functioning. It's not trying to emotionally and decay itself from the inside out because it's not being fed. And that's essentially what we have going on in our education system, in our law enforcement system, in so many systems. We ignore the problems, we don't treat the problems, and then we starve the problems thinking it's going to help our problems, and it makes more problems.
Yeah. Yeah. Sticking the head in the sand is never the right approach.
Yeah.
there's no question about that. And, you know, like the concept of like what you were just talking about in terms of the training, you know, and I think that, you know, you can call 988, right? And that, like, mm-hmm. like what really needs to happen is in these situations where it's clear, like if you had a social worker or a mental health worker that was either with the cops or like, all right, we got to call, you know, we need a mental health professional over there kind of like assisting with the cops to kind of to be able to decompress everybody that's at the scene. And we you know, it's like, cause the cops just aren't equipped to do it. And frankly, you know, they're not going in to be mental health workers.
No.
You know, when you get that job, like they have enough shit to do.
Yep. Yeah.
Cops have enough shit to do. Their job is dangerous enough to where I don't think we need to be piling that on to their list of chores that they need to do, their list of responsibilities when they get to a scene. But when we have an idea, like whether it's a domestic, right? Like, you know, there's something going on where probably a mental health professional coming along with the law enforcement would be very helpful to de-escalate a situation in a domestic situation. Or if you got somebody where it's a family member calling and it's clear that it's a mental health issue, you know, you're sending somebody in that is qualified to handle that, to de-escalate, to maybe get that person calmed down. Because when you've got somebody who, say, is a paranoid schizophrenic and you're coming in and you're fucking screaming at them, you are not making things better. You are making things worse in that person's mind. You are one of the people that they think is out to get them, you know, and that's the reality. That's just not the approach that you take in these types of situations. So, I mean, I think that there's ways that we can do it. It's like you said, though, man, the fucking funding, the funding, they're just not willing to put the money into it because, you know, it's considered more of kind of like a socialist type of thing, man. Like anytime you're talking about social programs, whether it's our public schools, whether it's police, fire, you know, anything that is considered where we're pooling money and we're using public funds in order to sustain it, it's, you know, it becomes a fucking political football when it shouldn't be. And it should be a human thing.
Yep.
Yeah.
We should all give a fuck because at the end of the day, it makes our country a better place to live.
Well, either we do this and we put value on this, or everyone's just in you're going to have very specific sects where everybody just says private security because the public got so defunded and so corrupted and so messed up that it's not safe to, they're not trustworthy. And I'm not saying we're there right now. In some areas, I feel like we are, but this is insane. I mean, if we want to have a functioning society, we have to fund the areas that are important, that protect us, our education, our police, our fire. But we somehow think that these are the areas that deserve the least amount of attention. And I don't know how the hell we have that mental block and why we think that way, but that is a majority of how our country seems to function. Or they just don't want to deal with it and they don't want to think about it because it's an icky thought. And then if you have to think about that, you got to think about all the decisions you might have made and the people that you voted for and the choices that, and you might start feeling bad about that. So we just kind of push it off into the corner because it's someone else's problem.
Yeah,
it's hard to look in the mirror when you have your head in the sand.
It is. Yeah. And you know, and until it affects you personally in some way, like that's the fucking thing here. Until you have one of those things that you just discussed impact you in a negative way to where you're like, oh, okay, now I see what the fucking problem is. People are just oblivious to it. We are very much a society that we're able to kind of ignore all the shit that's going on if it's not directly affecting us, because that's just how we're built.
You know, we've been able to for quite a long time in our country, kind of, you know, if you're not in that environment, if that's not the atmosphere, the ecosystem that you're in, you know, people have been able to. But I feel like that's shifting. I mean, I feel like you, I mean, I don't leave my house half the time. when I do, I go out and I'm like, yeah, this is why I don't leave my house.
Yeah.
Because it feels like it is slowly, I think more frequent, more fastly eroding than ever before, the enormous mental health crisis that is going on in every facet of our society. Go to the store, go to the mall, if you can find one that still exists, go to wherever, and you will run into at least one person or situation you're going, they need some help.
Yeah.
Guaranteed. And usually multiple variations of it to varying degrees every time you leave your home. It didn't used to be like that. It used to be like, remember that one time I was out and I saw this happen, or this, like, it's every fucking day now.
Yeah.
It's like, there's a problem.
And it's affecting our kids, T.
Yes.
We're not just talking about fucking adults.
Yeah.
We're talking about kids, 10, 11, 12, teenagers. It is rampant. Yeah. It is a fucking absolute crisis that is just being ignored in a way that it's like you said, man, you can't go out without running into somebody where you're seeing just clear mental illness, and you know, whether they're talking to themselves or they're wandering around aimlessly, or they're begging for money, or they're an addict. Like, especially if you go into, like, I live out in the burbs. And I still see it. But when I go down, I was in the city this weekend for Halloween, went to a couple of concerts. Man, it is everywhere.
Yep.
It is everywhere. In all of our heads are so far up our asses with these fucking things, man.
Yeah.
Like these fucking things, I'm putting a huge amount of the blood. Those need to go away. We need to reconnect as human beings. Mm-hmm. And like, we really do. Like this is like, we are living in the weirdest time that I can even possibly imagine. It's like a fucking science fiction novel. You know what I mean?
Is.
Like, it doesn't feel real. Like, you can't.
Yeah.
You
hear people use phrases like, "Are we living in a simulation?" And like, and it's like, I don't think we are, but I get the reference.
But it feels like it.
It feels like there's like, we're the fucking Sims, and there's some asshole teenager up there with his mouse going, "I'm going to start this shit on fire for you today."
I mean
it's just, what are we looking at in the comments right now, Stacey? What are people saying?
Oh, lots of great stuff. Gen Z, I get your name. This is wonderful. Gen Z 367. She says, female. My brother is schizophrenic. Tony, you're entirely correct, Bob, about how they take their medication. They feel better and then they stop. My mom has to take him once a month for a shot. She has to plan her entire life and vacations and everything around it, because if he doesn't get his shot, then he goes off the rails. So there's a family that's actually taking accountability and
few and far between.
It really is.
And the thing is, even families who want to take accountability, who try to take accountability, at the end of the day, it's up to that person with the illness to allow them into their life. That person has every right to say, no, you can't help me. I'm going to do it myself. You can't. There's nothing to force that person to take those medications.
Right.
There's nothing to force that person to get help until they've self-destructed in some way, shape, or form that hurts themselves or others, while we sit here and wait and watch them to do so. And I mean, it's so good that's going on, that this is a dynamic in that family where at least mom is there, and that your brother allows mom to come in and help, because there's so many cases where families, they literally have to give up because they're pushed away by the government, by the way the rules are of, like, well, you can't force your way in there. You can't do this. You can't do that. Well, they're going to die. Well, we get this. This is how it works.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's how it works.
Frustrating, man. It's frustrating and scary.
It is. Scary.
Yeah, without a doubt. Coming up, January 29th is going to be the sentencing hearing. What are you expecting, Bob?
Well, my fear is that they're going to give him the low end, you know, that they're going to give him 4 years. And, you know, I plan on going down there. And I want to make sure the judge, you know, because if you listen to her folks, Sonia's parents, that they gave a little press conference afterwards, I recommend everybody listen to that. It kind of puts it into perspective in terms of, you know, what the right thing to do here is. You know, Tony, if that was me that walked into that house and I'm not wearing a fucking gun and a badge, I guarantee you that I am convicted on first degree murder. I don't give a fuck what that guy's job was. He shot her and he murdered her in cold blood. Mm-hmm. A woman that he called, that was called to his house or to her house to help her. And that was the end result. And it's not that complicated. Like they could try to make that 10 seconds seem like whatever it is. But I mean, that guy killed her in cold blood. She was no threat, you know.
And the reality is, and this is, I'm not trying to sound cold or callous, the guy's track record, if it wasn't going to be her,
somebody else.
Yep, someone else.
It was a matter of time. He's one call away from making a horrible, horrible decision. Because number one, he wasn't qualified to do the job he was doing. And if that safeguard would have been in place, we wouldn't be having this conversation about this guy specifically today.
100%.
Yeah. Your thoughts in the comment section, be sure to leave them and let us know your thoughts, and be sure to press subscribe wherever you are downloading podcasts so you don't miss any of our coverage of this and the many cases that we follow right here. Bob's podcast, Defense Diaries, and the Buried. Where are we at on that right now? The Gacy.
It's doing great. Buried inside the John Wayne Gacy investigation, where it's doing well. Still got to keep getting it out there. Got to keep people that listen to it, make sure that you're giving it a rating and a review. Make sure you're following. I'm really excited about it. I'm actually having Michael Chernas come on the show, the guy who played Gacy.
Yeah.
So I thought he did a fabulous job, and I had the opportunity to interview him with you on your show, and that was exciting. And we'll probably get a little bit more into the weeds. Because he won't have somebody behind the scenes saying you got 45
seconds. Yeah,
got to move on.
So
would be really fascinating. Have you tried this? Have you tried to get the gentleman on who played your dad?
He followed me on Instagram, so I'm actually going to hit him up too. Yeah, Michael Usper.
That would be fascinating. Yeah.
Yeah.
Check that out. Have all the episodes dropped now on your series Unburied?
No, man. We just dropped episode 9 today. We're slow playing it.
Yeah.
But we're dropping 3 episodes a week. Kind of like the mind blowing thing that we ended up discovering in terms of our investigation has been going on in these last 3 episodes. It's a great podcast. It's different than anything else people have listened to, and it's worth their time. So hopefully they'll check it out.
Buried.
And a technical note for those of you who love a podcast, who love something on YouTube, always hit that like button. It shoves your favorite podcast show, whatever, into the algorithm. So hit that like button.
Yep. Yes, right here. Hit it right here. Always like, share, subscribe. It really helps all of our channels out. So
it does. So
and it's free. It's free to do.
Exactly.
It takes 2 seconds. Doesn't cost a damn thing.
Yeah. Exactly. All right. Until next time, for Bob, for Todd, for Stacey, I'm Tony Bruschi. We'll talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.